Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from the J. Edgar Hoover FBI building in Washington, D.C. Joining us is Catherine Bruno. Catherine is Assistant Director at the FBI and from the Office of Integrity and Compliance. Catherine, thanks for taking the time to talk to us and having us over.
I'm very happy to speak with you.
So we're very happy to be here. And the reason we're doing this podcast is because the FBI has a very substantial compliance and ethics program. And when it started, it was a fairly new and a novel thing, obviously. So can you first take us back to the beginning? I mean, I can remember when the FBI first reached out to us, but it would be good if you could recap how the program started.
Sure. I was actually not at the FBI at the time. I was working at the Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Justice at the time. And the office I was working in was issuing a lot of reports about the FBI. One of them was a report about the FBI's use of national security letters. And that report was highly critical of the FBI and how the FBI handled the national security letter authority that it had gotten as a result of some authorities in the Patriot Act. The National Security Letter Authority allowed the FBI to get subscriber information for telephone numbers. Now, it didn't allow the FBI to get content, but information about who had a particular telephone number and other information about that telephone number. Unfortunately, the FBI had not handled that authority very well in the sense of the reporting to Congress was highly inaccurate, according to the IG. There were a lot of other problems. The letters had been issued with the wrong statute cited. There were a lot of problems that you could call compliance problems. So the then general counsel, a woman named Valerie Caproni, and then Director Mueller, Robert Mueller, and others at the FBI determined that these problems that the FBI was having could be addressed in part, in any event, through a strong compliance program. And as you say, in the government, there weren't a lot of models to look to. So they reached out to the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics, your organization, for assistance. And our partnership began at that time, a very strong partnership that we have to this day. And in addition, the FBI looked to the private sector. Valerie Caproni, the general counsel, had a lot of experience from her time at the SEC in knowing how the private sector did compliance. And so the first assistant director for the Office of Integrity and Compliance, which I now lead, Pat Kelly, went to the private sector and did benchmarking with the private sector and set up our division in 2007. And it has grown since then, and it has developed since then into what it is today. But that's how we got started.
Yeah, and it's grown a lot, and we'll come back to talk about that. You know, now, since then, we've seen compliance programs grow elsewhere in the government. What would you tell any government entity considering starting a compliance and ethics program?
One thing I would say is to really start small so that you can stay focused. So one of the things that Pat Kelly did is that he focused first on headquarters. He didn't try to bring a compliance program to the entire FBI at one time. So he went out, as I said, and benchmarked with private corporations, and he worked with SCCE on what are the seven fundamental elements of a compliance program. He really stayed with those fundamental elements, and he focused on FBI headquarters and our headquarters divisions. And he focused on bringing those fundamentals to those divisions in the first instance and ensuring that those executives at headquarters would understand what is a compliance program and how do we identify risks and what is that compliance cycle in the first instance. So the real basics at the top levels in those primary divisions before he was going to try to get it out to all the field offices. Because if you start really focused, then I think you have a chance of showing that it can have value, and then you can work from there.
Well, it's also it also has a great advantage of having people at the top understanding it and supporting it before it has to go out to the entire organization. Now, What do, again, let's go back to other governmental entities trying to start a compliance program, and we've seen them also in state and local governments starting to merge too. What do they need in terms of support to make it succeed?
Well, at the FBI, they did have the crucial element for success, which is the tone from the top. So Director Mueller was on board with the idea of creating a compliance program at the FBI. Valerie Caproni, the general counsel, understood what a compliance program looks like from her time at SEC and from her time, other experiences that she had had. And there were others in the FBI. There was an assistant director, Kevin Perkins, who was essential to the creation as well. So there were people in critical roles at the top of the FBI, and that's essential. You have to have buy-in. In addition, you really need people on your staff who understand the functioning of your organization. So if you were to bring in only folks from the outside, as much as they may have terrific compliance experience, if they don't understand how the organization works, then it's has the potential to be less successful. Because, for example, here at the FBI, it's just a highly complex organization. And I think many of the institutions that are trying to put in these compliance programs are very complex. So tone from the top can be helpful, and compliance expertise can be helpful. But if on the team you don't have people who have intimate knowledge of how that organization functions, that could be a key element that would be missing. So compliance expertise and expertise in how the organization functions are crucial. I also believe that another element for succeeding, at least in our model, is that we are using, as Pat Kelly always said, compliance is the business of the business. So our model is to have a very small number of people who are using the FBI's people to make the compliance program work. So we are using the subject matter expertise of the FBI in our program, and that's, from our perspective, what makes it succeed. So we're not trying to bring in a bunch of outside people to do the compliance work. We're trying to use the FBI people to do the compliance work, and that's what helps us get the buy-in that we need to make it succeed.
Well, it's a great way to make it part of the fabric of the institution as well, because the office is regularly interacting on lots of levels with people. Now, are there some mistakes that government entities should avoid that are easy to make when trying to roll out a compliance program?
Well, I think one of the areas that can be helpful to avoid is, for example, setting up mitigation plans that are more imposed on the entity versus having entities within the organization really be the drivers in setting up those mitigation plans. So as we know, in the compliance cycle, we identify risk, and then we analyze risk, and then we come up with a mitigation plan that we then work to resolve those risks. So in our cycle, we have our executives meet at various levels, at the director's level, at the branch level, at the division level, to identify those risks. And once we've identified a risk and prioritized the risk and analyzed the risk, we have to come up with a plan for how are we going to address that risk. Well, in the FBI, we really work very hard so that the people in a particular entity, if it's a counterterrorism entity, or if it's a cyber entity, or if it's a human resources entity, those are the people who are coming up with the idea about how to mitigate that risk. They're coming up with the tasks that need to be done, and they're coming up with that timeline. We're not imposing it on them. I think a mistake that can happen is if you're imposing it on them, then there's a sentiment of, well, this isn't my idea, or this isn't something I agreed to. And then you can have a lot of resistance. Whereas if people have come up with the idea themselves, then they've bought into it and you can get a lot of cooperation.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, it's a great way to get ownership, and certainly you want to have that, because ultimately as somebody says, compliance department's not responsible for being compliant. The business unit, the people on the front lines are the ones who are compliant or not. And by helping them understand that and buy into the program, it's terrific for that. Now your program has matured to really a great degree at this point. You know, I'm amazed by some of the things that you guys are doing. What advice would you give to other governmental or even private sector programs that have moved on from the launch phase and are looking to evolve their program to succeed for the long term and move up to the next level?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do at this point with our program is we really focused in our first decade, and that seems like a long time, but we focused in our first decade on the headquarters pieces. We have 22 headquarters divisions. And our headquarters division compliance councils, led by an assistant director, each council is led at the assistant director level, focusing on those division risks here at headquarters at the tier three, and then pushing up those risks into the branch level, led by our executive assistant directors. And those are all pushed up to our tier one level at the director level. And that process has been sort of evolving and developing, and we've been really learning to help our executives be comfortable identifying risk, and we've been really working with the organization to show the value that we can add. So that's what we've done, I think, with our first decade, and we now have a strong record and a library of risks that we've proven we can get out in front of these things, and we can prevent getting on the front page of the paper with these risks or getting into an external oversight report with these risks. So now what we're trying to do is move out into the field and get these field divisions and their leadership to be comfortable identifying the risks and to have their division compliance councils in the field divisions be more active. And what that requires is much more training and much more getting out there in terms of the staff, getting on a plane, getting in a car. It's labor intensive to do the field work because the FBI is an organization that, you know, is across the country. And then after that, we're international. So we have 110 legats around the world. So what we've done now that our program has matured is try to expand it into a broader and deeper into the organization. That's where we are right now. We're also trying to assist others in the federal government. Now we're considered a little bit, to some extent, more senior in our experience in the federal government. And so we've started the Federal Working Group of Compliance Professionals, and we meet quarterly, and other federal compliance programs are able to learn a little bit from our experience. We also, with the help of SCCE, used one of your tools, a compliance assessment tool, and we've tried to adapt it to our needs in the federal government. It came from the healthcare field.
Oh, right, the HCCA one we did with the OIG at HHS.
Yes,
right.
Yes. So we borrowed, with your permission.
Right. It's there for everyone. You don't even need our permission.
Well, we took that, and a lot of folks from our office and other offices worked really hard with that to try to develop a way for us to either self-assess or work towards peer review. So that's the things that we're now pushing and driving towards to make our programs better in the federal government.
Well, that's great. And it's great that, you know, there's a whole ecosystem now of other entities in the government that are using, taking a look at compliance programs and adopting them. Well, Catherine, thanks for sharing what you've done, what you're planning on doing. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.